Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you, along with my friend John Couch, John engineering and producing the show. And together, a big welcome. It's Tuesday, the 23rd of March, 2021. We're in our 11th year here on the radio in the Zocalo Village Green Things studio. We're on 1030, Tucson's voice for news and talk in Southern Arizona, our radio station, 1030 KVOI, the Buckmaster Show live line presented by Rincon Ventures, Real Estate and Property Management. Let's go, without further ado, right to Washington, D.C., and United States Representative Tom O'Halloran, a Democrat representing Arizona's 1st Congressional District, a sprawling district that on the south end includes Tucson's northwest suburbs. Congressman O'Halloran recently elected to a 3rd two-year term. Congressman, how are you today?
Well, good morning, Bill, and or afternoon, I should say now. And I'm doing well. It's good to be getting back to work at a higher level, and I think we're going to be back to where we need to be as a Congress in Washington on a more consistent basis.
The administration officials are steadfastly refusing to call the detention of more than 15,000 children in the U.S. custody or the conditions that they're living under a crisis. Whatever you call it, Congressman, it's a big concern, isn't it?
There's a crisis. I have no doubt about it. When you have that many children in those conditions, I think that we need to address security at the border. We need to address how we humanely treat people that come into this country, our refugee programs, our visa programs. And that's what the bill that's going through Congress right now would address. And I think hopefully we can find some level of agreement within Congress to get that to become law.
Do you think that, are you optimistic that we can finally get some kind of immigration reform through?
You know, I always look back to 2013 when a supermajority of the United States Senate sent a bill over to a comprehensive immigration bill over to the House, and there was never a hearing on that bill. And there was widespread acceptance across our country. We have to get back to that. We have to get back to understanding that if we want to keep immigration as a continual issue to fragment our country, then just continue down the path of just arguing about it instead of finding common ground. And we can find common ground on many of these issues.
Are we going to be able to find common ground? I know it's a big lift, but the infrastructure plan for the Biden administration, which would be close to $1 trillion in spending for much-needed roads, bridges, and all sorts of our ports, our rail lines. It will be a heavy lift, won't it?
It'll be a very heavy lift, not to mention broadband throughout our country, which is necessary to keep rural America up and going and to progress as the rest of the country has. But the bottom line is there's infrastructure in this country has been neglected for so long, especially on the maintenance side of it, that we have to do something. It's not just about American travel. It's about worldwide competition because our trucks, our rail have to be able to make it to ports in a quick enough way for our industrial base to be successful. We have to have good roads for emergency vehicles. Throughout the rural America, these roads have been left almost like they're abandoned. As far as I travel them all the time, and they're in terrible shape. So they have to be addressed. And obviously, it's not good to just watch the increasing cost of addressing infrastructure. The CPI is 3%, consumer price index, the cost of construction right now is double that at a minimum, and it historically has been. And then the next level up is healthcare. But we're doing is watching this get larger and more costly. So we have to address it now.
With the big COVID bill, how did Arizona make out? Is there going to be relief, financial relief for our cities and communities?
There is. Arizona will see about $14 billion come into it to assist in COVID relief, to assist in making sure our, whether it's a smaller municipality or up to the state government and the tribal governments, receive the needed assistance they need to keep their governments running, to allow us not to lay off first responders, to get better vaccination programs going throughout the state. You can go on and on, but the bottom line is it's a program that will assist the families of Arizona and America get through this, so that at the end of this COVID process, we will come out as a strong country that can compete in the world, and our families will be much safer now and into the future, because we are within that bill. We are looking towards the future and how to address these issues on an ongoing basis.
Your part of your constituency is the Navajo Nation. Are they doing a lot better on the COVID front?
I get a report almost every day on all the tribes. There's 12 tribal entities within Arizona Congressional District 1. Navajo, last report I got was 2 days ago. They had 18 deaths versus what they used to have before. The day before that, it was 2. So they are making tremendous progress, as all the tribes have been. But there's a lot to overcome still with the level of their ability to address sanitation facilities, water, all these elements that are important to being able to stay away from viruses and not catch them are lacking in many areas of our tribal lands, and we have to address those. And we have done so far, and the tribes across the nation will be getting $20 billion to be able to address some of these problems into the future. The last tranche that they received through the CARES Act, which was almost a year ago, was $8 billion. So we've been able to shed a light on the problems that tribal lands, especially rural ones, are facing.
Let's see if we can work a quick question in from caller Matt. Matt wants to talk about the border. Go ahead, Matt.
Yes, Congressman, I believe your office was successful in passing legislation that extended the distance that can be traveled from people who are traveling from Mexico to the U.S. and Arizona. The question is, we still have a border that is closed, and Santa Cruz County and our other border counties, Pima, are suffering because of the lack of business that's coming across the border that normally does cross to spend money in our storefronts and so forth. Any status with Department of Homeland Security under the Trump administration? They've been pushing the date that they would consider, again, reopening beyond essential business. Just any thoughts on that? Thank you. Bye.
I think Matt met the Biden administration, not the Trump administration. Go ahead.
Right. I think you're going to see, as soon as COVID gets to the level that we feel safe, that travel can increase. But I fully recognize that, especially sales taxes and income into the border part of our state, the communities, is critical for those communities. And we know that. At the same time, we have to keep the people of Arizona safe in their homes and away from this virus as much as possible. And as everybody can see, a tremendous amount of vaccine is coming into our state. And by May, just like across the country, we'll be able to have a much better ability to fend off this terrible virus.
Congressman, you're 75 years old. I asked your colleague Raul Grijalva whether he would be stepping aside after this this term, and he said he's pretty much still good to go. We had Congresswoman Kirkpatrick in CD2 saying she will be standing down, and this will be for her final term. What about your own plans? Are you still enjoying this job?
I love the job. I love public policy and working with people. I'm running for a fourth term. I think it's important to have the skill sets and the knowledge base that I have now, especially now that I've been in office for 4 years plus a couple of months now. And and the committees I'm on are really great committees for our district. The Energy and Commerce Committee is one of the top committees in Congress. It's one of the busiest committees also, and has the most jurisdiction, along with agriculture, which is so important to the southern part of the district.
So you are running in for 2022. We'll go for another 2 years?
Definitely.
Okay, there you go. All right. Congressman O'Halloran, thank you very much. Stay safe. We'll talk to you soon.
Same to you, Bill, and all the folks that are listening. Thank you very
Thanks
much.
Thanks a lot. United States Representative Tom O'Halloran saying definitely he's on board for another run, which would be coming up next year. Well, I know Shelley Fishman is good to go for another segment, another week, and he just gave me a thumbs down. Are you kind of saying, yeah, pretty much thumbs down? All right, we'll hear what's going on with the markets and a lot more with Shelley Fishman in the Green Things, Zocalo Village Studios. But first, I want to tell you about Mona's Danish Bakery. Find out what all the excitement's about. I was sharing with our listeners about the wonderful response over the weekend. The line was out the door on Saturday morning at Mona's. I think people want to get out. They want to have a cup of coffee, enjoy a wonderful pastry, eat out on the patio. And now would be a great time to go by Mona's for lunch and enjoy lunch. And then how about a brownie or some pastry for dessert? They got you covered. Mona's, the home of the Danish Kringle. Northeast corner, Swan and Sunrise. Website, monasdanishbakery.com. There you can order your bakery goods online, so they'll be ready when you stop by to pick them up. Call ahead or just stop in to Mona's and tell the team that Bill Buckmaster sent you. We'll be right back with Shelley Fishman. Cushman & Wakefield Picor is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield Picor offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at picor.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's picor.com. Call us at 748-7100.
A Citizens Advisory Committee of the Regional Transportation Authority is starting to review projects submitted by RTA member jurisdictions for consideration for the next RTA plan. The committee will consider plan goals and performance factors as they move into the selection process. The RTA will seek public feedback on the committee's draft plan when it is ready. Learn more about plan goals and sign up to stay informed at rtanext.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster. You've heard me talk about choosing Tucson International Airport. While fewer people are traveling lately, our airport is doing even more these days to help ensure traveler health safety, including counter safety shields, physical distancing markers, enhanced cleaning, and more. It's called TUS Cares, and you can learn more at flytucson.com. These may be different times, but my priority remains to fly Tucson, Tucson International Airport.
Why is mining so important? It's the foundation of everything that defines a society. Everything you see is a product of mining. No matter when, no matter how, no matter why, every society on this planet has developed, grown, and modernized based solely on the minerals it could process. That, my friend, is why mining is so important.
Brought to you by the Southern Arizona Business Coalition.
Vero Amore Restaurant in Plaza Palomino at Fort Lowland Swan and Dove Mountain in Marana are now open for limited in-restaurant and patio dining, along with takeout and home delivery. all of your favorite Vero Amore menu items, including Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, are ready for you and your friends and family. More at VeroAmorePizza.com.
Reed Park Zoo is now open for wildlife walks, a modified guest experience prioritizing safety. To find out more about all the changes and the new safety precautions now in place, visit reedparkzoo.org. The community-approved 10-year master plan ensures your zoo's future is brighter than ever before. We've missed you, and so have the animals. They're waiting to welcome you back to the Reed Park Zoo.
Green Things is a family-owned and operated plant nursery serving Tucson since 1970. Open daily at 3384 East River Road, Green Things is chock full of plants and pottery from around the world. Green Things is also now home to Zocalo, featuring fine Mexican and South American imports spread over five buildings on the 13-acre Green Things property. For more, visit greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Shelley Fishman is a financial consultant in private practice in Tucson, Arizona. The views expressed during this segment are his own and don't necessarily represent those of this station or of Bill Buckmaster Communications. Contact Shelley through buckmastershow.com or at shelleyfishman.com.
And let's welcome now Shelley Fishman for his Tuesday Moneymaker Report. Shelley, I wish you had better news for us about the markets, but now it's across the board today.
Yeah, it is. I wish I had better news for you about the markets today, too.
Any reason? What's going on?
Or? Well, a couple of things going on. Of course, the Fed chair and the Treasury secretary were testifying on the Hill today, and they might have said some things that were unexpected. I don't think so, though. I didn't read or hear anything. I just think that we have a very volatile time right now. The markets are overbought a little bit, and so anything that happens that is just a little bit off, off the kind of routine path, shakes some people up. We've got some profit taking going on, especially as we get toward the end of the first quarter.
But pretty much, there's no bombshells coming out of their testimony today, right?
Nothing. What they're saying is the $1.9 trillion that was in the COVID relief bill was a good start. And now what we need is another $3 trillion in infrastructure and things related to infrastructure, as the congressman was talking about. Of course, how to pay for that and how to get that passed is, I think he called it a heavy lift.
Yeah, it's a very heavy lift. How is that going to be done? I mean, right now there's been so much pushback from the Republicans over the nearly $2 trillion package on the COVID.
Well, I'd be interested to hear what Terry Bracey has to say about that.
Yeah. Yep.
But my bets are on some form of modification of the filibuster rules, so that the Dems and maybe one or two Republicans can do it on their own.
Shelley, this is, I think we're at the one-year mark now for when the markets reacted in such a big-time negative way about COVID, and rightly so. It was pretty much a bloodbath on the markets. And how well have we recovered? I think it's worth noting.
If you take a look at the lows, and I'd need to pull this up because I hate to do things from
memory.
I
kind of sprung this on you, but I think it is worth noting on this anniversary.
I believe on the couple of days that things started really crashing, we got down to about 20,000 on the Dow. We're now at 33,000 and change. So that's about a 50% increase in 1 year. If you go from January 1st of last year to today, we're from about 28 or 29,000 to about 33,000. Ain't bad, but it's not 50%. So you can't really take a look at the low point in any one given day and say, look how well we've done between that low point and today. You really have to take a look at a longer period of time. And if you do that, I think what you'll see is that during the last year And most especially from November till now, the markets have done very, very well. And I think with the $1.9 trillion COVID relief package, I think the Fed last Wednesday said, you know, the Congressional Budget Office is talking about 3.6, probably going to be closer to 5% GDP growth. And if we get something this year in infrastructure, it could be even higher than that.
The infrastructure bill feels like too much to listener Richard, who just sent me an email, Shelley. In lieu of the $1.9 trillion package just passed, and our Richard is concerned about gigantic debt ever growing. Your reaction to listener Richard, please.
Certainly those concerns are well-founded concerns. However, it's not going to be $3 trillion in new debt. Some of it is going to have to be paid for, probably more than half, by new taxes. Also, when you're talking about an infrastructure bill, you're not talking about an infrastructure spending that all happens in 1 year.
That's
this is a 10-year.
Yeah. It's a long-term deal.
It's a long-term deal. So if, in fact, you can create the kind of employment stimulation that happens as a result of employing all of these people in both repairing and building new infrastructure, you can create a higher tax base just from increased sales tax and increased taxes that accrue from all of this construction. So I'm not too worried about that. However, the heavy lift is really going to be taking about half of it and finding ways of increasing taxes to begin to pay for that so that it's not all out of debt. If you can create a GDP growth increment that's, let's say, 2% higher than it would ordinarily have been without that kind of stimulus, and your inflation is only running at around 2%, plus you've got, say, another 2 or 3% of growth on top of that that would normally occur through the just normal economic growth, then that debt can easily be handled. It's not a worry. However, you have to watch it. And I think that the listener who talked about his concerns about getting deeper and deeper into debt, these are things that we really, just can't blow off. You have to figure out how to pay for this. That's going to be what the congressman and his colleagues on the Hill are going to have to figure out.
And then a Facebook friend, David, says, doesn't modern monetary theory, Shelley, say that, yes, we really can just print out the money we need, but what is most important, David believes, is the continued consumption of goods.
He's absolutely right. Modern monetary policy does in fact poo-poo the idea of adding debt and poo-poo the idea that you can't print money without destroying an economy. And in fact, over the past 20 years or so, we've printed a lot of money and inflation has stayed around 2% or less. So just taking a look at what we see for real is that all these fears about inflation that we've talked about now for 40 years, actually, not just 20, have not turned out to be valid fears. Nevertheless, it's very hard instinctively to just think that you can print money willy-nilly and not have some deflationary effect on the value of your dollar. Thus, if the value of the dollar goes down internally within the country, then the cost of goods will go up. That's the theory. That's what classical economists have been talking about for, decades and decades and decades. We haven't seen any of it. So, we need to keep a sharp eye on all of this. I mean, a guy like Summers was talking about inflation and the fears that he has of inflation, and he's a Democrat. So, yes, we can't just blow it off, but I do think that if we get the right combination of stimulus, which is employing, remember, building infrastructure employs people. So that has a stimulative effect on the economy. You get the right combination of that and some new taxes, especially taxes for corporations and for people who got a big break a couple of years ago, I think we can pull it off and pull it off in a way that, to again quote the congressman, that will keep us competitive on a worldwide basis. Because if we don't do it, the downside is far more dire and more immediate than doing it and not, you know, getting all the financing right.
Good. Good interaction here with listeners, David and Richard, bringing up some very good points today, Shelley.
They really did. And I love it when people in the audience, in the listening, the listeners contribute, because they've got a lot to say.
They do. They do. All right, Shelley. So today, kind of overall, we're doing pretty well.
Overall, we're doing just fine. Yeah. Now, if this continues day after day after day, then you get a little bit worried, and you look for fundamental changes. But we're not seeing anything like that. We're just seeing volatility.
All right. Shelley Fishman, always a pleasure. See you next Tuesday. Have a great week.
You too, Bill.
Thanks a lot. Buckmaster and the Green Things. Zocalo Village Studio. Our guests appear on our live line courtesy Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. The aviation industry starting to take off again. Jeff Lattice is next on the Buckmaster Show from JetBlue.
Working hard to save wildlife covered in cactus spines. A skunk left for dead, miraculously saved by a caring citizen. Those are just a couple of the headlines from the nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Center, where thousands of animals are cared for each year at its state-of-the-art Far East Side Tucson facility. Rescue, rehab, and release. The Tucson Wildlife Center, saving wildlife for more than two decades. Donate online at TucsonWildlife.com or call 290-WILD.
Have you ever imagined how your life would be without the modern conveniences you rely on every day? Everything you need depends entirely on products produced from mining. Without mining, think Stone Age. Your work commute might be a bit slower, but you could still have social media. Bathing shouldn't be a problem, but it won't be in a tub. So unless you're a caveman, you can see everything that enriches your life depends on the many miracles from mining. Brought to you by the Southern Arizona Business Coalition.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year. And if you're over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is once again welcoming guests to the gallery. Stop by or call ahead for a one-on-one appointment or even a virtual design session. Come by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, located at the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge. The number is 795-8226 and on the web at moesgallery.com.
Noble Hops in Oro Valley is now open to welcome guests for limited in-restaurant and patio dining, along with takeout and home delivery. All of your favorite Noble Hops menu items are available for you, your family, and friends. So check out Noble Hops, a pub for foodies, on West Lambert Lane at North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley, and on the web at noblehopspub.com.
Here at Bon Voyage Travel, we encourage you to keep the travel spark alive by exploring the world through our weekly webinar series that includes inspiration and insight from some of the top leaders in the travel industry. When you're ready to plan your next adventure, know that Bon Voyage Travel will be here to advise and assist. Join us every Wednesday at 3 p.m. for a new virtual destination discovery. While we're apart, let's keep dreaming together. Visit bvtravel.com for more information.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. We love Green Things. You know, one of the things we love about it, not only is it a beautiful location on 13 acres over on River Road at 3384 East River Road, I love the fact that when you go there, you're going to get help that's very knowledgeable. When you go and you may know a little bit about plants and gardening, but you don't really know where to begin when you're thinking of some long-term color that's going to live through our, hopefully through the whole, up until the monsoon season. The folks at Green Things got you covered. They will take care of you. They'll point you in the right direction. Not only point you in the right direction, but you don't really want to carry a big pot into your car. They will make sure it gets home into the trunk and safely, and you're off and you've got what you need. Check it out, greenthingsaz.com. Also, when you're there, check out zocalovillage.com as well. Great merchandise from Latin America, really in Europe too, some beautiful items. Open daily. Green Things, now in their 51st year. The Buckmaster Show Live Line, presented by Rincon Ventures, Real Estate and Property Management. Well, across the United States, air travel is recovering more quickly from the depths of the pandemic, and it is showing up in longer airport security lines and busier traffic on airline websites. In fact, the TSA, the Transportation Security Administration, screened more than 1.3 million people both last Friday and Sunday of this past weekend. That sets a new high since the corona outbreak devastated travel a year ago. And it was just about a year ago that we brought in, we've talked to him, of course, many times since, but it was about a year ago that our contributor on aviation, JetBlue Captain Jeff Lattice, was with us, a highly decorated retired combat fighter pilot. Jeff flies the Airbus A320 and the A321 with nearly 20,000 hours of accident-free flight experience. Jeff, how are you, Captain?
I'm doing fine, Bill. Glad to talk to you again.
Yeah, I was just reflecting last March when we talked as the pandemic was really starting to crank up, and you were relaying to our listeners, you had some pretty good pretty good flight loads. You were carrying a lot of passengers, but then there was that week right around St. Patrick's Day, Jeff. You told us that things just dramatically dropped off.
Yeah. As a matter of fact, it was not uncommon to see a fairly sizable airplane, 737 sized airplane with only like five or six people in the back. I was looking at the numbers. You were reflecting about the Friday and Sunday numbers. A year ago, there were only 20,000 passengers that were flying on a daily basis.
Wow.
And now it's what, 1.3 million or so. Another little tidbit, as I was getting ready for this show, I saw an article where in 2019, the numbers that from Friday were only 4% less than the 2019 numbers. So it is coming back in a big way. Obviously, it's not going to be close to the 2020 numbers, but we're getting close to 2019 numbers.
I'm not surprised at this. I had predicted all along that we would have a recovery that would be much quicker than many of the analysts were saying. Some of the analysts were saying that this was going to take years. We're almost back, on, as you just reflected, to some of these pre-COVID days, and the bookings, the airlines are telling us, and your company at JetBlue, I'm sure, has also experienced this. Not only are the bookings up, but the traffic to adding new destinations is showing you're going to have a robust, you're going to be busy, Jeff Lattice, this summer. Looks busy for you this summer.
Yeah, you know, being a commuter, I'm based in L.A., so I have to fly to L.A. to start my work. You know, it's been a tough row because we went from 9 flights to 1 flight a day to L.A., and now it's up to 3, and next month it goes up to 4. Southwest starts flying again to L.A. from Tucson, but in June it jumps all the way back up to 7. So that kind of gives you an idea how fast this is building up. Currently at JetBlue, we're flying maybe about half to a little more than half of what we were flying during COVID, pre-COVID. And I think by summertime, it's going to be at least by June to July, possibly 100% of what we were doing pre-COVID.
How has the company's arrangement, maybe you can articulate it with American Airlines, what does that mean, Jeff Lattice?
I don't know if I understood your question.
This teaming up with American, your code sharing, could you kind
you
of articulate that?
I got you now.
Okay.
Well, I'll be honest.
Please do.
Our union voted against us.
They did?
And yes, and... However, you know, looking at it from a different perspective, basically it's a kind of a pilot protection thing if we didn't do it. Basically, we're giving up flights, essentially, which means pilots aren't flying. So it's more of an employee protection to not have this. However, I think we are seeing the flight loads increasing because of that. So, you know, it's kind of a mixed bag. The American pilots also voted against it, from my understanding, in their union. So pilots are, you know, we're here to kind of protect our own skin in the game.
Of course, of course.
But honestly, you know, if it continues, we're both going to be up to full running of our flights, and it could make it more efficient. It just goes against our contract is part of the problem.
I know the MAX is being introduced all over the place. We're planning some travel to the United States Virgin Islands in May, and it looks like we're going to be on a MAX 737. There really hasn't been much blowback from the public on this reintroducing the MAX, has there, Jeff Lattice?
Yeah, and, you know, when you look at what Boeing did. It wasn't just a simple fix. They basically had to re-engineer the whole system that caused the problem. It wasn't a redundant system. It only worked on one of their angle of attack indicators, and there was no indication to the pilots what was going on. All that's been redone. Now it's a dual redundant system. That means that both the angle of attack indicators will have that system. And both those indicators have to agree. If one of them is saying that there's a high angle of attack and the other one is showing not, it's not going to take over the airplane. It'll instead just give the pilot a warning that their angle of attack indicators aren't matching. So it gives them room to, you know, alleviate the problem and figure out what's going on. So, and plus, before they can fly a MAX, there's training they have to do as well. So, you know, I think they solved the problem, to be honest with you.
You know, getting back, and I'm almost out of time, but with that deal with American, consumers, would they not know they're thinking they're on American and then they get a JetBlue aircraft taking them to their destination, or would that work also vice versa to that?
I haven't bought a ticket, so I don't know for sure, but I think if you go to a JetBlue or the American, you're buying your ticket from that company. When you buy the ticket, it's going to tell you that you're going to be on the other carrier's airplane, but you're going to buy the ticket via American, and then you might end up coming from New York to L.A. on a JetBlue airplane. So, and vice versa. It's kind of how it works.
Jeff, before I let you go, give me an update. We're hearing rowdy passengers have really become a big deal, and it seems to be centered, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, but from what I'm reading, it's centered around this whole thing with the masks. Have you had any problems as you captain the JetBlue aircraft? Have you had to deal with some rowdy people and to educate them on it is a federal requirement that you must wear a mask on the aircraft, and if you do not comply, there will be repercussions when we land?
Just my last flight. So it happens daily. There's no doubt about it. And I'd probably say I'm dealing with it one in three flights.
Wow.
There'll be somebody that you have to deal with. Most of the time, people will end up complying. There is a form that's handed out that's kind of like a warning ticket. And if they proceed any further and non-comply, currently they will be met by some manner and escorted down to TSA, which has the authority now through the FAA to issue up to a $20,000 fine. And these fines are coming out. People are getting fined. It might not be the full $20,000. It depends on how belligerent the passenger is going to be. If they're not belligerent, they just refuse to wear the mask, you know, they might be blacklisted on that airline. If they become belligerent, and that doesn't mean they have to be physical belligerent, but just verbal assaults, they could find themselves in jail and with a fairly hefty fine.
You will land the aircraft. You will land the aircraft at an alternate airport if it's bad enough.
Oh, you bet. There's no doubt about it. If it escalates beyond the issued warning. Yeah, we're going to land at the most appropriate place, drop them off. they'll be met by the FBI. They'll get a free room and board in a federal holding pen for a night or two. So this is something the public needs to take seriously, because we take it very seriously. You know, we're dealing with the safety of the flight, and whether you believe the mask works or not doesn't matter. If you don't think masks work, and you get on an airplane, you might end up with this penalty. So if you don't think a mask works, you better drive.
Okay.
Because most airlines are going to drop you off, and you're going to get met by law enforcement.
All right. Always good advice from JetBlue Captain Jeff Lattice, our contributor on aviation. Stay safe. Happy flying to you, Jeff. Thank you, sir.
No, thank you, Bill.
Thank you very much. Always a pleasure to talk flying and aviation with JetBlue Captain Jeff Lattice. You heard it. He's the guy. He's the man. He is the captain of the ship. And if you're not going to wear a mask, Jeff is going to put that airplane down. If you're rowdy enough, you will be winding up in jail. And I think he said up to a $20,000 fine. All right. Dan Gibson is next, our tourism update. It's looking a little better for Tucson. Back with Dan after this.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
The Regional Transportation Authority plan is funded by a voter-approved half-cent sales tax, which expires in June 2026. To prepare for ongoing project delivery, the RTA board established a Citizens Advisory Committee to select projects for a new draft plan. The committee will help identify which projects to invest in to best meet regional transportation needs. Learn more about plan development and provide early input at rtanext.com.
Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
Hello, I'm Danette Bewley, President and CEO of the Tucson Airport Authority, with news of our new effort to ensure air traveler safety and security going through our terminal. It's called TUS Cares, and you can read more about it on our website, flytucson.com. As you carefully weigh your decision to fly, I want you to know whether it's next week, next month, or next year, we are here for you at Tucson International Airport. Thank you.
Hi, this is Pam Krim, CEO of the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, where we set the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the place to turn for objective and unbiased information on businesses. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona at bbb.org/Tucson.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local independent nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. Good news for those wanting to take the trip over to Silver City. I don't blame you. It's only a three-hour drive. Great time to get away. The greened-up Gila National Forest and Wilderness, beautiful time of year. And the big news, New Mexico is open, welcoming once again out-of-state visitors to make that trip over to Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. So now is a good time. Start your planning. Visit Southwest New Mexico. Spell it out, southwestnewmexico.org. There you'll find all sorts of opportunities, suggestions of what to do and where to stay. It's good to see New Mexico once again open. It's time for our Tucson Tourism Report with Dan Gibson of Visit Tucson. Dan, things starting to pick up in the travel business.
No, absolutely. I mean, we had the first, the numbers for February came out like last week, I think. And it was the first month since, you know, the pandemic started that we were over 50% in occupancy for the area hotels and resorts. I think most likely in March, you'll see a number that's around 60% occupancy. If you talk to hotel GMs and resort GMs in particular, they were having an incredible spring break. So, I mean, you're seeing the leisure business definitely amp up, like starting to ramp, you know, back, not back to pre-pandemic levels, but towards that direction.
And
still, you know,
JetBlue Captain Jeff Lattice was just with us on the air, Dan, and he says that pretty much some days now are back to within a couple of percentage points of pre-COVID travel through TSA, and hopefully a lot of those people are headed out to Arizona.
No, for sure. And, you know, for the reasons that people suspect, you're seeing more consumer confidence in the tourism space. People have gotten vaccines, so that's changing their dynamic about it. You know, there's still the main, a little bit of a broken record is on my part here, but, you know, still missing Canada and Mexico by and large, although people find exceptions to that. But, you know, by and large, people are still staying home in Canada and Mexico. And, you know, the thing that's going to haunt the tourism business for a while is still group bookings. You know, we've had some successes in booking larger groups for reality shows and some of the filming opportunities that we've had. But, you know, there are very few conventions. There are very few large scale sporting events that are in our market, although that's starting to change a little bit with MLS preseason that's here now. So that's what, you know, and then the sort of large scale events Obviously, the sort of rebooted Gem show, hopefully coming up in April. But it's that's the challenge. There's still always going to be this cap of what's possible with hotel occupancy and rate that's based on waiting for groups to return. And that's still a little uncertain. That could trickle into 2022 before you see that fully back on.
Your boss, Brent DeRad, the CEO of Visit Tucson, was quoted in the Star, Sunday Star, that when you compare how Tucson is doing in hotel occupancy, we're doing pretty darn well when you compare us to other travel markets, what they call our peer markets in the leisure travel.
You know, it's interesting because I think partially because we had such positive momentum going in, and then, you know, it really is that we have a destination you can enjoy without feeling crowded or that, you know, people are going to be in your personal space all the time. And that we have a destination right now that's really lovely for outside, to eat outside, to do things outside, all that stuff. So, I mean, it's distinctly an advantage, and we tried to lean into that, right? The challenge a little bit, of course, is, you know, this is no different than any other tourism season, is going to be the summer. You know, as that creeps forward, we have to sort of adjust our plans, push more towards Phoenix and, you know, sort of staycation market to keep hotels moving. But I think there's a lot of reasons to be optimistic about the fall. There's a lot of reasons to be optimistic about April still, you know, is that people are coming and they're excited to come. And, you know, when you see that Arizona and other states are getting a little bit ahead of the vaccination process, that you're seeing that, you know, there are, I don't know how many states, but a number of states now, including Arizona, that are 16 and up, sort of free-for-alls as it goes, that is going to – people really want to travel. Like, by all indication, any survey you see, they're like, please let me go anywhere. and, you know, I think we're a good anywhere to go, right? And I think – using what we are good at, like at digital marketing and trying to get in front of people and PR opportunities, all that stuff sort of adds up.
You know, the message even before COVID was we're a great outdoor destination. So in many ways, the message really doesn't have to change for the reentry, does it, Dan Gibson?
Not particularly. I mean, I think the thing, you know, part of the challenge is just that, you know, still people are still seeing a little bit of an incomplete Tucson, right? I think we all experience that as locals.
Sure.
Too, right? Is that, you know, some of the things that I would normally recommend people do are still just not feasible. Like, well, see what's at the Rialto. If you see the show at the Rialto, you'll have a great time. That's still off the books, although they're having a great sort of art gallery experience this weekend, which is fully recommended. But, you know, that some of the restaurants are still not sort of fully back online, right? Like that the sort of regular events that you see around Tucson haven't jumped back in. So that's sort of the challenge a little bit, is like you want to say there's so many things still left to enjoy, but it's just not the full experience. And so, you know, when we're talking to journalists, I'm just like, hey, listen, it's still really great, but if you want to see 100% Tucson, that might not be until the fall.
Some of these acts are starting to book for June. Some of the very popular musicians are starting to think about summer and definitely fall, Dan.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I'm on the board of the Tucson Jazz Festival. We're like starting to, you know, do the booking for January. You're seeing music festivals pop up around the country. Life is Beautiful Festival in Vegas is in September. Outside Lands in October in San Francisco. So, I mean, that music business is starting to pick back up too. It's just such that, like, we're still in that liminal tension space, right? You know, and then you, like, where you're like, oh, things are really going really great. And then you'll hear like, oh, Brooklyn is shutting down.
Yeah.
Something like that. And you're like, oh, yikes. Yeah. You know, so is really still, we have to all be sort of conscious of taking those precautions. And while unadulterated vaccine laden freedom sounds great, we still have to be thoughtful about others and how we interact with them.
That's for sure.
Curbing spread, for sure.
Dan Gibson, always a pleasure from Visit Tucson. Dan, have a great afternoon. Thank you.
You too. Thanks so much.
That'll do it for the Buckmaster Show. On behalf of my engineer producer, John Couch, we hope you have a great afternoon.